Dawson asks him what's going on, and Mitch says that they haven't talked about it. And Dawson's like, so then how do you know what's going on? And he's like, oh, I know what your mom wants. Okay, Mitch.
Okay, Mitch, what does she want? And maybe you should show me on me. Maybe you should show me what she wants on my body.
Oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom.
Back to you, Bob.
And welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We're your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 322, The Anti-Prom, which originally aired on May 17th, 2000.
Very exciting time. Spring.
Summer's approaching.
Summer's approaching. The smell's in the air. The spring smells the grass.
MDW, right around the corner.
What's right around the corner?
Do other people call it that Memorial Day weekend? That might be a Jersey Shore thing.
What did you call it?
MDW.
Oh, MDW. Yeah, we're knocking on MDW. But more importantly, finals, prom, dances, summer jobs.
Did you have summer jobs?
Oh, of course. Every summer.
Where'd you work?
My first job was at the stadium, handing out nachos and whatnot.
What kind of sports?
A baseball stadium.
Okay, great, great.
Could you imagine me handing out nachos? No. I had cheese all over me. It was sweaty. One year I was a busboy at a country club.
Nice.
One year I was like a data entry person.
That sounds like your nightmare to me, data entry. Maybe it's mindless.
Data entry was weirdly satisfying because you had a quota you had to hit every day. So it was like a competition.
Yeah.
And I love that competitive moment. But also the VMAs, I always equate that with like Memorial Day time.
Oh my God. I thought you were saying you worked at the VMAs. You know, that one summer was the VMAs.
Could you imagine? Like May, June, you're just like, there's new music.
Everything. Everything was happening. And I remember everything.
Call forward. What are we drinking today?
We are drinking the prom night punch. It is vodka, coconut rum, cranberry juice, pineapple juice, lime juice, ginger ale. It's basically jungle juice. And it's bringing me back to college. And I love that for us.
That was wild. Just to think about the jungle juice era when we would go to parties in a basement and like there was a big vat that was like lined with a garbage bag and we just would stick our cups in and just drink what was in there.
We usually had those sports coolers that you jump on the coach's head that has a little spigot at the bottom. For some reason, somebody always had one of those and you just pour stuff into it until you liked the way it tasted. So weird.
It's a miracle we're alive.
It really is. Truly, truly. We didn't even have Google. We just had to hope that we woke up the next day. We were like, is this a problem? I don't know.
I know. And back then I had a phone, but I don't know if I texted.
It was a crazy time.
I think you just communicated on AIM. You were like, see you at a pie at 9:30.
100%. Oh, Micah must have already left the house. His away message is up.
At a pie, hit the celly.
All right. Why don't you tell us what it's about?
Well, fine. I'm going to dive in then.
Fine.
I'm going to dive in to episode 322, The Anti-Prom. And it opens with Dawson and Joey, and they're approaching his house. And Dawson says that he's nervous because there's a certain event coming up. And he reminds Joey of the pact they made years ago that if they were both single, then they would go together. Joey isn't so sure they should be going at all, but Dawson said he would much rather go with her and have it mean something than to go with a stranger and have it mean nothing. She eventually agrees, and the two of them are interrupted by Mitch and Gail, who exit the house kissing. Mitch tries to explain to Dawson what's going on between him and his mom, but Dawson doesn't really want to hear it, citing that he has seen them hooking up a million times and he's tired of being stuck in the middle. And unless they have solid answers for him, he's just not in the mood right now. Mitch admits that he and Gail don't really know what's going on, and this just further solidifies that Dawson just wants no part of hearing about any of this. Pacey and Andy are studying, and she suggests that he goes to the prom, but he's not so sure. She kind of hints around that she has so many suitors asking her, but she's really hoping that Pacey will pick up on this and ask her, and he does not. And he's sure that one of the other guys that's courting her will bring her to prom. But later, Andy's telling Jack that she's bummed Pacey didn't ask her. And Jack thinks it's for the best because it's clear that Andy still has feelings for Pacey, but she obviously denies this. She just wanted to go with Pacey because he's safe. And they talk about the theme of the prom, which is couples. And Jack says that he's bringing Ethan, but as a friend. It's the next exercise in his gay journey that Ethan's his gay Yoda on. But when Jack tries to buy a prom ticket from the student in charge of selling them, Barbara Johns, she tells Jack that she cannot sell him a ticket if he's planning to bring another man. She asks why he wants to go with the guy anyway. He won't be able to take part in any of the prom traditions. He won't be able to dance. He won't be able to take pictures. It'll just be a waste. Jack is outraged, and of course he's upset. And then Dawson buys a ticket for him and Joey, and Pacey overhears this, and he is very sad. So Joey, Andy, and Dawson comfort Jack over this discrimination. Joey and Andy say it's the principle now, and it's gotten political. And Jack hates that. You know, he just wanted to have one thing that was normal, just one normal thing he could do. But Joey and Andy decide to boycott prom, and that's when Dawson pitches having the anti-prom, an alternative event where everyone is welcome. Dawson enlists his parents to have the prom at their restaurant, Leary's Fresh Fish. So Jen and Henry, of course, are going to the alternative prom, and Jen braces Henry for the fact that they are not going to have sex on prom night, because sex on prom night is rushed, it's not romantic, and it's generally pretty awful. Henry is okay with that as long as they do have sex eventually, which makes Jen laugh. So when Pacey and Andy reconnect again, she admits that she actually had zero prospects to go to prom, and she was lying earlier when she said that. And the only reason she lied was because she didn't want a pity ask from Pacey, and Pacey says it would never be a pity ask. And that is when he asks Andy to go to the alternative prom with him, and she says yes. So when Joey and Dawson are taking their pre-prom pictures with Bessie, Dawson says he stayed true to the promise he made to Joey, and he did not buy her a corsage, but he did borrow diamond earrings from his mother for Joey to wear tonight. At the prom, meanwhile, Jack and Ethan are a little awkward. Jack is really nervous, and it turns out that they actually both wore the same exact tux. A fight between them brews, and Jack asks Ethan to just put a pin in his Jack's a young gay boy and Ethan's gay Yoda stories for the night. And Ethan admits he actually can't be gay Yoda tonight because he's never asked anyone to prom or done anything like this. And this upsets Jack because Ethan has always put on an air of being so brave and how he's always trying to move the needle and how you should always be yourself. So he finds this a little disingenuous and he feels duped. And Jack is super upset with Ethan. Everyone else kind of files in, including Pacey and Andy, which makes things even more awkward. And while Dawson and Joey are dancing, she asks him why he invited her tonight. Was it just to keep throwing jabs at Pacey all night? To say, she's mine, I won, ha ha. Dawson says that's not it at all, and that's not what he's doing. And then Joey asks, well, what are the looks you keep giving him? And Dawson says, the looks are about the nerve and the gall Pacey has to show up to my mom's restaurant at an alternative prom that I organized. Joey says that Dawson has no right to exclude anyone from tonight, considering the concept of this prom and how it came to be to begin with. It was all about exclusion and how everyone's included. She feels like Dawson is parading her around in front of Pacey, but Dawson swears he isn't. So Jack and Joey reconvene outside, and Jack realizes that Barbara Johns, the girl who refused to sell him the prom ticket in the first place, was right. He can't have a normal prom night. He can't dance with Ethan. He can't take pictures with Ethan. He can't do anything a normal couple would do because they're not a normal couple. Joey reminds Jack that he's come a long way. He's come so far from where he was a year ago when he first came out. And Jack encourages Joey that if she wants things to go back to normal between Dawson and Pacey, then she's going to have to be the one to set that example. Dawson's words have gotten to Mitch, and he decides to privately talk to Gail about defining what they are. But Gail's not that interested. She doesn't know why they always have to analyze everything. And this really upsets Mitch because he feels like he's the one who's always trying to define things and figure out what they are. And he tells Gail that if they're going to have something, that she's going to have to be the one to figure it out this time. At the prom, Jen and Henry get into a huge fight when he drops the news that he's going away for 8 weeks to a football camp this summer. She is so upset, and she says that any slim possibility of them having sex tonight is now out the window because he just ruined her prom. And he's confused because Jen already said there wasn't going to be a chance of sex. And she said, that's just something you say to alleviate the pressure of having sex, so it's easier when you actually have it. Jen can't believe she made herself so vulnerable to someone who didn't even consider her at all in his summer plans. And here she was, making plans for the both of them for the next 3 months. She feels mortified and embarrassed. Henry says he's sick of doing the song and dance with her, and she freaks out every time there's a sign of insecurity on her part. Henry says he's not going to do this again. They're going to be done. He's not going to stand outside her house with posters and messages. He's not going to go out of his way to win her back. And then Jen says, that's fine. Be done. So back inside, in an attempt to make things copacetic, Joey asks Pacey to dance. And they do. And he says this feels so right. And he notices her earrings and says, "Where did you get these? They're so not you." And she says, "Why? Because I'm a poor tomboy or because Dawson gave them to me?" And he says, "Neither." And he points to her bracelet that she has on, and she says that this is more you. It's simple, it's elegant, it's not gaudy or showy. And Joey smiles and says it was her mom's. Pacey says, "He knows that." Joey asks, "How would you know that this was my mom's?" And Pacey says, "6 months ago, school, we were in the hall. I was annoying you per usual. You were wearing your blue sweater with snowflakes. And you said to me, 'Pacey, cut me some slack. I just found my mom's bracelet this morning.'" And Joey asks him, "You remember that?" And Pacey says, "I remember everything." And it's at this point we see that Dawson and Andy are watching Joey and Pacey dance. And it really hits Dawson and Andy at this moment that Joey and Pacey do really have strong feelings for each other. And Dawson runs out very upset. Jack, meanwhile, tracks Ethan down at the train station and says that he didn't feel comfortable going to a prom with a guy. He felt uncomfortable going to a prom with a guy who didn't like him back. And that's when Ethan says that he does, and he dares Jack to kiss him. They're alone in the train station. What's stopping him? If he's ready, then kiss him. But Jack can't, and Ethan leaves town on the train. Joey chases Dawson out of the prom, who is livid over her dancing with Pacey. She claims that she was just trying to make things normal again. You know, she danced with Dawson, she was going to dance with Pacey. Joey realizes that Dawson arranged this whole night because he was hoping she would be so impressed with him that she would pick him. And Dawson says, "You've got to pick somebody, Joe." And then he kisses her, telling her that's how the evening was supposed to end. Pacey, meanwhile, apologizes to Andy and says that when he asked her to prom, he really did want to go with her. She forgives him, and he tells her about his summer plans. He's going to sail his boat, the True Love, down to Key West. Andy encourages Pacey to tell Joey how he really feels about her before he leaves. He can't leave without doing so, and it's not like him not to be honest. The next day, Joey returns the earrings to Dawson and says that she's going to tell him the same thing she told Pacey, which is please do not make her choose. She can't, and she doesn't want to. Dawson agrees. He says he will wait for Joey. He's an eternal optimist, and he will wait as long as he has to. He's been on this soul-searching journey this whole year, and he finally found what he was looking for. So then they're interrupted by Gail, and she runs into the house, and she tells Mitch that she wants to be a family with him again, but she's just so scared of making the same mistakes all over again. But she realized, even if she does make the same mistakes all over again, and they make the same mistakes all over again, she hopes they make them as well as they did the first time. She asks Mitch, "What's your answer?" And he says, "Well, you didn't ask me a question." And she says, "You know the question." And he says, "You know the answer." And the two kiss and hug, and Dawson and Joey look on as Mitch and Gail are now engaged once again. And that is episode 322, The Anti-Prom.
Chills, tears.
Chills, tears, screaming, crying, throwing up.
Vomit everywhere.
Do, 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 do.
Oh, God. Literally choking up as you do
it. I don't really
it.
Know the words, but I know the melody.
Everybody knows the melody.
Do, 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 do.
So haunting when you do it.
Who wrote this?
This episode was written by Maggie Friedman, as you will remember. She joined Dawson's mid-season this season. She came over from Wasteland when that show got canceled, and her first episode with us was 318 Neverland. So if you want to hear more about her, you can go back to that episode. But the fact that she just joined and wrote this episode, my God.
She's freaking killing it, Neverland and The Anti-Prom. She must have just been a huge Pacey Joey advocate in the room or something. Well, praise Maggie Friedman. Praise God.
Praise be. Blessed be the fruit.
What about the director?
This episode was directed by Greg Prang. So we're very familiar with Greg. His last episode with us was 319 Stolen Kisses. And his first episode with the series was 215 That Is the Question. So if you want to hear more about him, you can go back to that. But as we know, he's been a producer on the series, boots on the ground, and it shows. It shows. This episode is amazing.
This episode's amazing.
It's amazing. It might be the best one in this season for me.
Like the best episode, you mean?
Yeah, you know, in a season full of episodes, I don't know. I think that every time we rewatch the end of this season, I'm like, oh my God, this is the best episode ever. So take it with a grain of salt. But I was so emotional this episode. It's so good.
Yeah, I just thought maybe your like Neverland or Stolen Kisses would have been a D Pacey.
Yeah, I thought that when we watched them. So maybe it's just whatever's in front of me at any given moment.
You're just a damn liar. That's what you are. Next year's prom episode is amazing too.
Oh my gosh.
Both prom episodes are just really good.
Oh yeah, baby.
Why is prom such drama all the time?
All the time. I don't know. My senior prom, I cried for probably a half hour. I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Like, you know, I was dating a girl at that time, which is whatever, saving for my therapist. And like we were dating, but it was like I was a junior. She was a freshman.
Ooh, okay.
Robbing the cradle. Well, it was like my friend's sister, whatever. Mm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And but like I remember there being a lot of drama, like, are you going to go with her? You're not going to go with her. You're going to go with one of our friends. Why would you go with a freshman? And it's just like, I don't know. That's drama all the time.
Yeah, it is something that gets very built up in people's heads for sure.
And then are you going to get a limo?
And like I was thinking about this when they talked in this episode, which we'll get to, about the theme of the prom. And I was like, oh, my God, that's right. Proms had themes. And then I was like, what was our theme? And like a theme really just meant somebody painted some cardboard and like hung it from the ceiling. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I feel like the theme was always like goodbye or like moving on or.
I think the theme for one of my proms was the city.
Huh.
Like, I just remember.
Like, New York City?
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. I feel like I remember painting, like, we all had to paint.
Skyscrapers?
Yeah, skyscrapers. But also, one of the favors that they gave us was a martini glass.
Interesting. It probably had like jelly beans in it or something.
I'm pretty sure that the theme of my senior prom, now that I think about it, was not hanging by a moment. That's Lifehouse. What's the Kelly Clarkson American Idol song?
A Moment Like This?
A Moment Like This. Loose theme.
That's a very loose theme. That's not even a theme. That's a sentence. But I mean, that's what ours were. That's what ours were. Like, very like, goodbye, so long. Like, you'll be fine.
So long, farewell.
Yeah, it was always like this, which doesn't even make sense for a junior prom because like, we're going to see you in 2 months.
Keep in touch. Have a bitchin' summer.
Well, anyway, I could tell you that there was no sex in my friend group on prom night. We were losers.
I couldn't even tell you what happened on prom night outside of the fact that I cried for a half hour in the bathroom.
I could tell you what happened at mine. I got so sweaty from dancing. I thought I was going to have a stroke leaving. I was overheating. And I immediately drove to the Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru and got a mango culotta.
You're like, man, I need to revitalize. Give me a culotta. And
I was like, are people having sex right now? Because nothing would hit better than this culotta right now. Sucks for them. Have fun with all your sex. I'm having a culotta.
Losers.
You straight losers with your normal lives.
Your girlfriend's just like, well, I'm just happy to be here. I'm a freshman.
So glad we're holding hands tonight again. What's next?
Guest cash shout out.
Guest cash shout out.
Well, I'm going to give the guest cast shout out to the only guest cast in the episode, who is
Barbara Johns.
Corey English playing Barbara Johns. Speaking of themes, Barbara came up with the theme, and the theme is couples. Again, what a theme.
Straight couples.
Straight couples only, unless Miss whatever her name is approves it, but she probably won't because you'll go to hell. Corey English is a working actress. She worked on a bunch of TV, a bunch of movies. She was in this episode of Dawson's. She had episodes of One Tree Hill, Joan of Arcadia, CSI Miami, Without a Trace, NCIS, House, Luke Cage. She was in a ton of movies. She is still working. I mean, her most recent credits are like 2021, 2022. But the thing that jumped out to me is she had a role in Runaway Jury. Did you see that movie? 2003, John Cusack. It's, I think, a John Grisham, like based on a John Grisham book. But have you ever had one of those movies that you quote a random line from all the time and no one ever knows what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think so.
I have seen this movie once, maybe twice, barely know what it's about. But there's a scene where they're choosing the jury for this trial. The movie is about like gun control or something. It's like a very hot button issue that's being tried. So they have to be very rigorous about choosing the jury because they want people who are not partial to either side. And they're choosing the jury, and there's this guy there, and they're looking at him and they're like, something's wrong with him. I think that he's like, feels strongly about the issue. He's trying to play it too cool. So they kick him out, and before he leaves, he stands up and he yells, "This is the blood of innocent children." And he opens up his shirt. And for some reason that is stuck in my head. And I always say, "This is the blood of innocent children." And nobody knows what I'm talking about. Not a soul.
Do you remember Barbara Johns from this movie?
Not at all. Couldn't even tell you who she was. I just needed to talk about my own self and my own life and go on a tangent. Okay? I'm Dawson. I'm a narcissist.
Oh my God, I'm totally a narcissist and getting worse. My coworker got fired yesterday and she calls me. And she's talking about how she got fired and we're talking about our boss and she's very upset. You know, she's like in tears and she's just like, I got fired. Da, 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 da. And then she's like, I don't understand because like he loves you. And then she kept going on and I was like, can we go back? You think our boss loves me? Like in the midst of her breakdown about her future and her finances, I'm just like, that one little thing you said about me, can we rewind? Why do you think he loves me and in what ways? And what kind of love?
Cite three sources.
It's just so bad. But I'm trying not to be self-involved. It's just so hard.
Well, you know, you're with yourself all day, every day.
Do you think being self-involved and a narcissist are the same thing?
No, I do not.
Then maybe I'm just self-involved.
Yeah, I think we all are. We're all the stars of our own story.
So rude. You're supposed to say, no, you're not.
Oh, no. I mean, I think we're all thinking about ourselves all the time.
I'm not thinking about anyone else.
And that's why I don't give a shit about Barbara Johns. Just kidding.
I kind of liked Barbara Johns. I thought she was pretty ferocious.
She was. She was well cast. She was believable.
You go, homophobic queen.
She wore those blazers and those conservative church outfits really well. I bought it.
She just was not having the gaze at her prom.
No, eternal damnation. Okay.
What's next? Dogs?
Yeah. So Corey English, you go, Corey English. Keep doing your thing.
What about music moment? I don't even think we need to talk about it. Do, 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 do.
Sarah Sleen. Who knew? I honestly didn't know it was by Sarah Sleen.
I did because she also sings the song that plays during Ben and Felicity's when he finds out that she cheated on him with Noel.
Wow. What a queen.
That song's called Blue Parade. I don't know the name of this one off the top of my head.
My Invitation.
Yeah.
There's a part in the song where I've never known if it was added score on top or if it was part of the song, but it is part of the song where the trumpets come in and it's right before the I Remember Everything moment. When those trumpets hit, I got a lump in my throat. Full body, chills. They remind me kind of If Beale Street Could Talk.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the score from that movie. And timeless, beautiful, emotional. I love it.
And I Remember Everything is an iconic phrase in Dawson lore. I think it's the name of a podcast. It's the name of a site. It's like the name of the Pacey Joey movement. True love and I Remember Everything.
And it is everything. It's everything. That moment, that's why I'm saying I think this might be my favorite one. And I know that I don't know. I'm having a real crisis in my head, but this episode is so good.
I was just thinking of the beginning of season three. And I know I'm like the only person in America who loves Eve in the beginning of season three. But I don't know. I think one of those is my favorite.
Who interesting choice.
Obviously, the Pacey Joey moment, the moment of this episode is up there.
Okay, I see. I see.
But I'm talking episodes as a whole. I think there are better ones. Yeah, the I Remember Everything moment. I mean, there was a Heather Nova song in the middle of the episode, which was a nice little callback, throwback.
London Rain, yeah.
Oh, we have to give it to Sarah Sleen, My Invitation, obviously.
Everyone give it a listen.
It will be on the Back to You Bob Spotify playlist.
You better believe it. We might give it its own playlist, and you could listen to it on repeat.
Its own playlist? What about Past versus Present? I have a Past versus Present.
Tell me.
My Past versus Present is I just remember Dawson being way more upset on prom night than he was.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I thought he was so upset.
You thought he was more upset than you remember him being?
No, I remembered him being very upset and I still thought he was.
I guess I remember more like petulance and more outbursts and more babyishness.
He is like a literal toddler.
Yeah.
When he sees Joey and Pacey dancing, he like basically stomps his feet and like moves his arms when he walks out of the prom. He's a little baby.
He's just a little baby. He's just a baby.
I don't have any money. I'm just a baby.
He's just a little baby. I thought there was a bigger outburst, but It was just a medium outburst, I feel. What's your pass versus present?
I, this time, felt a really big leap in Pacey and Andy's storyline. Like, I know that they had that conversation at the end of the last episode where they kind of smoothed things over after Andy knew about Pacey and Joey. But in this one, she's just like studying at his house and they're friends again. And she's like, take me to prom. It just felt to me like something was missing. Like there was an episode worth of Pacey and Andy becoming more friendly. I don't know. Something about it felt off to me. I don't know if it's necessarily a past versus present, but it's just something that I picked up on this time that I had never picked up on before.
I see what you're saying. In your mind, they just weren't like study buddy level based off of their conversation last time.
Yeah, like one-on-one study, or like maybe if it wasn't studying, maybe if it was, I don't know, some other activity, I would have felt differently about it. But I felt like studying was something very intimate that they used to do together, and Pacey has since kind of gotten away from that. So like, I don't know, the whole thing felt a little bit, not the arc of the story. I really like that Andy wanted him to ask her and he did, and they had that whole thing, but just like how comfortable I guess they were with this like quote unquote friendship at the top of the episode felt.
Didn't track for you.
Yeah. All right. Should we open it up?
Let's open it up.
Well, the first thing I wrote down is that Dawson is so manipulative and I hate him.
Why do you think he's manipulating her?
It opens with them having a conversation and he brings up prom. And Joey's like, let's just not go. And he's like, why would we not go? Like, come on, we can be friends. We all know he doesn't want to be friends. We all know that he has these ulterior motives. Joey's trying to make the right decision. And he just keeps like twisting, being like, no, it's here are all the reasons we should go. I don't know. I'm over him.
Yes, you are right. He is manipulating her because at the end he does admit that he did all this to win her back. But at the beginning, he's like, it's just a little innocent pact we should do. So you are right. He is manipulating her.
Yeah. And I would rather go with you than with some random. And she's like, yeah, we don't have to go, though. Like if we had to go.
Right.
That makes sense. But they don't have to go.
Who would he have gone with? What random girl would go with him?
I have no idea.
Barbara Johns. You're right. He is manipulating her. But she says, okay, we'll do it. He says it's a rite of passage. He convinces her, but she just doesn't want a corsage. And he says, fine, I won't get you a corsage.
She has this delusional grasp on everything going back to normal this whole episode. And for the last two episodes, she's like, if I just do nothing, everything will go back to normal. And it's like, Joey, the cat is out of the bag. We're not getting it back in.
To that end, I would have liked to see her make a real valiant effort to get things back to normal, like a scene of her putting them both in the room and trying.
Sure.
And it going awry, but she usually goes to one and says, hey, will you talk to Pacey? And goes to the other and says, hey, would you talk to Dawson? But she's never, not that it's up to her to like mediate, but maybe if the three of them just got in a room, then you could say you kind of did everything you could, you know?
No, she's not really doing anything. She's just sulking. And I'm over it too. You know what? Maybe her and Dawson deserve each other.
But no one's ever, two best friends haven't fought over me. So I don't know what that's like.
Maybe we can manufacture that for you.
That'd be great. Having to choose between two people. Oh my God. Like how Kelly had to choose between Brandon and Dylan and she chose herself. Ugh.
Snore.
Get out of here. Choose yourself. Choose Dylan, you dumb idiot.
It's like when Schmidt had to choose between Cece and Elizabeth and he chose both and he dated both of them for like a month and then they found out. And then he had no one.
That was funny. A new girl.
Yeah.
That was the niche reference. When you said Schmidt, my mind went to Grey's Anatomy.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, we love a love triangle choosy end of the year, end of the season moment.
Oh, we sure do. I think it's important to say that this is the penultimate episode of the season. This is, we're building to the end.
We're building to the end of a roller coaster of a season between replacing showrunners twice.
Incredible.
Because we found out that the girl who wrote the first episode was the original showrunner and she was replaced with Alex Gonza. And then Alex Gonza was replaced with
Greg Berlanti-ish.
Kind of. Yeah. So there was like a cast mutiny. The first six episodes of the season were like kind of abandoned and they redirected. So it's been a crazy season. They really pulled it together. And we have one episode left.
Insane.
Insane in the membrane, one might say.
One might say that. It drives me crazy how outside of like him manipulating her to try to go, he keeps pointing back to their like deep roots and like, remember when we were kids and we did this? this? Remember when we talked about this? Remember when? And I'm just like, we get it. Like, she knows your history. He just frustrates me. And he's getting worse by the second.
That's his only card he has to play, really, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
The best friend history card. Mitch and Gail are caught red-handed.
Mid-makeout.
Again, as they were in early season one all the time. It's a nice little nod.
Yeah. And it is kind of nice, too, that it's like not a... We've seen that image. We've watched Dawson see that so many times. That's not the shock of the action. It's the shock that they're doing it because they're divorced.
Yeah.
I liked it. Felt like a callback. I liked that Joey was there to see it.
Yeah. I felt very season one. I like that. And then Mitch has no answers for Dawson. And Mitch wants to kind of smooth things over with Dawson. And he's just like, I'm good. Until you have answers, I'm good.
Dawson asks him what's going on. And Mitch says that they haven't talked about it. And Dawson's like, so then how do you know what's going on? And he's like, oh, I know what your mom wants. Okay, Mitch.
Okay, Mitch, what does she want? And maybe you should show me on me. Maybe you should show me what she wants on my body.
He knows what mama wants. Yeah, the next thing I wrote down is, do you think it's weird that Andy is at Casey's to study at Doug's?
I don't, because she forgave him last time and she said she didn't want to have hate in her heart for him anymore. And they got close during the play. Like, it didn't strike me as...
Okay.
I love her little dragonfly shirt.
She's classic McPhee in this episode. Her prom outfit, everything. Her wardrobe is hitting. It's hitting all the right notes.
Yeah, she's a little Claire's girly.
She really is. She's like a Delia's catalog model.
We love a Delia's. We love a Claire's.
Alloy.
That sounds familiar.
Man, I loved getting those catalogs in the mail.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I like to order things on Amazon. It used to be so exciting to get stuff in the mail. And now I have nothing to live for.
I'm sure there's catalogs you could sign up for.
Maybe I should.
Andy's basically saying, you know, I have all these people who want to ask me to the prom, but I just don't know. And she's hoping Pacey will ask her. And he says, I'm sure one of those guys will ask you.
Well, he says, do you want me to ask you to prom? And she's like, I want you to be happy. And he's like, prom isn't going to make me happy. So you're better off going with somebody else.
Joshua Jackson does such a good job in this episode of just in every scene, just looking so isolated and lonely and defeated and sad.
Yes. Yes.
It's just his energy is just so
down.
Yeah.
He's got a real 2024 energy. The year of our Satan, 2024.
Yeah.
He's down in the dumps. Joey telling Bessie about accepting Dawson's invitation to prom. In that scene, Bessie is all of us. She's basically like, Joey, I don't know what to tell you. You're doing this to yourself. I'm over your shit. Joey is like, why don't you have any good advice? And Bessie's like, if you give me a problem that has a solution, I'll give you good advice. What did you think was going to happen if you accepted his offer? What did you think?
Yeah, Bessie's has had some tough love for Joey these last few episodes. She's not mincing words.
No, she's not.
Bessie is a badass bitch.
She's a business owner. She's a mother. She drives a truck. Okay? Facts.
It's all true. I love when Andy says stupid prom. Stupid prom can kiss my ass.
I like too that Jack's got some tough love for Andy. She's like, oh, I have to go to prom alone. And he goes, well, going to prom alone is better than going with a ex-boyfriend you're still in love with.
It's also funny too. This is just little, but like every time Kerr Smith is in the cafeteria, he's always like very in character, but he's always having like a battle with like some type of
unwrapping a sandwich or something. Yeah.
Like this week, it's like a yogurt thing that he can't get off. And it's just very like dumb jockey because Jack has that dumb jock kind of side to him.
He does. That's funny.
It's just very funny.
He's always interacting with some sort of food, some sort of packaging.
I love Andy's shirt. What a fashion queen.
Is it the same one in that scene?
No, it's like a pink button down, kind of like 3/4 sleeve.
I'm telling you.
A little country clubby.
Theme, as we mentioned, is couples. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Because 95% of the people going to prom are not a part of a couple.
Yeah. And in this world, the theme will be the couples who like are in attendance. So like Dawson and Joey would have like balloons that say like Dawson and Joey. But I could see you doing like famous couples, like, you know, I don't know why Bonnie and Clyde.
But like, you know, famous couples, Bonnie and Clyde, Mr. like, and Mrs. Claus.
You could do like Romeo and Juliet, like if they were the, you know, but yeah, making couples out of the kids is just weird.
Very weird. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't buy it.
Some of us weren't in a relationship when we were 16, 17. Some of us had to wait until we were 29 to be in our first relationship.
You were in a relationship. You just didn't care about it.
Oh, that wasn't real. That was fake. I was like Dawson manipulating everybody. Don't I look straight?
Well, it's because of the Barbara Johns in the world that you weren't in a relationship, because she says to Jack, boys can't go to prom with boys.
What are you gonna do?
Rub a stubbled cheek.
What are you gonna do? Dance stubbled cheek to stubbled cheek?
She's really got something up her bum.
It's wild.
It is wild. And poor Jack, like, all he wants to do is just live his life. He just wants to be able to open his food in the cafeteria, and he can't. And he just wants to go to prom, and he can't.
I know. And Barbara Johns in her little mesh sweater. Why are you wearing a mesh sweater if you're so proper?
She sucks.
Why don't you fill in those little mesh holes with a real sweater?
That's how the devil gets in, through the holes. Then Dawson comes up, and she makes him tell her his name and the name of his date out loud. And he's what?
Out loud. Say it. Say it out loud.
Say it out loud. Well, he's like, you know who I am. We have class together. And she's like, what is your name and what is the name of your date? And he's like, Dawson Leary and Joey Potter. And she's like, ooh, the happy couple back together again. And then we reveal that Pacey's sitting there listening, and the subtle face acting by JJ. So good. It's exactly what you were talking about before. Sad. Defeated.
He's just so sad.
True depression, it feels like.
I know. Barbara Johns needs to hook up with Ty.
Oh, man. That is actually a match made in heaven.
They could just talk about the Bible and gays.
Ducks. It looks like a duck. Quacks like a duck.
Jen should really hook them up.
They could get drunk together at the jazz club.
The jazz club.
Then we cut outside to Andy and Joey comforting Jack.
Yeah.
Which I love. So cute.
So cute.
And that's when, again, little puppet master Dawson is sitting there as well. And they're all like, we won't go to the prom. And it feels like there's a moment where they're all happy about that. Dawson hears Joey say she just won't go, full panic.
Not on his watch.
Not on my watch. I'll make my own damn prom. And he comes up with the idea for the anti-prom.
Yeah, which is totally selfish. Like, he's not doing it for Jack at all.
Not at all. Not for a single second. But he sells it that way. He says, this is going to be a prom about who you are, not who you bring. And it's going to be great. And Joey's like, yeah, you're my hero. Ugh.
Very manipulative, this Dawson Leary is in this episode.
Hate him. Then he goes and he convinces his parents that it's a good idea and that they should let him use the restaurant.
Yeah, and the ticket prices will offset the cost.
Gail says, okay, well, as long as you realize that means I'll be here. And Mitch says, and you need a chaperone, so I'll be here. And Dawson's like, sure, whatever. I just want to get in Joey's pants.
As long as I get Joey in the end, it'll all be worth it. So then Barbara Johns has like a rival ticket table with Andy and Jack. And Andy and Jack are getting all the alternatives. The people with the piercings and the tattoos. And Barbara Johns calls them the dregs of society.
And Barbara Johns has some wicked shoulder pads in this scene. Don't know if you noticed them.
I know. She's wearing like a black and white blazer kind of a thing, like a checker.
Oh, yeah.
A checker blazer kind of situation.
And she says, at least I'm not going to hell. And she's like, the threat of eternal damnation is enough to keep me away from your prom. And Jack's like, that's not your threat to make, honey.
When she says you're going to hell, Jack and Andy are like, that's all you're like, that's your comeback. Ooh, I'm so scared. So funny. Andy is so funny. Meredith Monroe is a comedic genius. Jen and Henry do some bullshit. I don't know.
Grams had Gramps's suits laying around. So she tailors one to fit Henry for prom.
Call me crazy. I just don't wear a dead person's suit.
There's no way that it's going to fit him.
Well, it will be when Grams is done with it.
She's a whiz.
She's going to take it in.
She's a seamstress.
And Jen says, we need to have the prom sex talk. We're not having sex at prom. It's 2 minutes before curfew. It's rushed. It's so much pressure. It's terrible. We're not going to do it. He's like, okay.
She goes, that's it. And he goes, well, we'll do it eventually, right? And she's like, yeah. And he goes, I'm in no race. That really made me laugh. Not, I'm in no rush. I'm in no race.
And Henry did not get a limo. None of them got limos. Did you get a limo?
No. So we had two formals a year, junior and senior year. One was winter and one was prom and for one of the winter formals we did. I did not go to my senior winter formal, but I went to my sophomore year winter formal.
You just jogged my memory. I didn't go to my junior prom. I went to my senior prom. We kind of did a thing like this where like we had like an alternate night.
Were they separate?
No, there's one prom.
Like juniors and seniors together. Yeah. That's what we had too. Okay. Then we go back to Andy and Pacey. Pacey now comes to Andy's house and she's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I was bored, I guess. She's like, great, thanks. And she admits to him that she's going to prom alone. She didn't have all these dates. And he's like, why didn't you just tell me that? Like, I would take you to prom. And she says, I don't want your pity ask. And he says, it wouldn't be a pity ask if it's an honor. Oh my God.
So cute. And he looks amazing in this scene. Looks great.
He looks great in this whole episode.
He looks particularly great in this scene.
Okay. It's that warm light.
Yeah, as he's like tan, warm light. So they're going together. Andy's very touched. It's very cute.
It is very cute. Then Dawson shows up to the Potter B&B. Joey has one look. Joey has one fancy look. Dark dress, shawl, French twist. That's Joey's fancy look. That's Joey's prom look. That's just Joey's Miss Windjammer look. And that's Joey's AJ sports banquet look. Sports banquet. Awards banquet.
Well, I think that tracks. You know, she's a tomboy, so she doesn't know how to do a lot of the looks.
I'm not criticizing this show.
It sounds like you are. It sounds like you are.
Seeing Dawson in a tux makes me want to die in his smug little face. I hate him. But here we are. He shows up. They're going to take some pictures. Bessie is ready. And he says, no corsage. She didn't want one. But I brought you this. And presents her with the diamond earrings. And Joey, what would your reaction be if you didn't know what he was doing? She's like, this is too much. And he's like, they're on loan, like the Oscars.
My reaction would be exactly what hers was, which is like, what if I lose them or break them? Because I'm always nervous.
She's like, what if something happens? And he's like, what, to your earlobes?
And then Bessie takes that picture. And then we're off to prom. We're at Larry's Fresh Fish. Mitch and Gail are watching everyone file in.
All the freaks.
Mitch tells Gail to go lock the register because all the kids that are showing up.
Mitch and Gail are not freaks. This is very foreign to them. They were jocks.
They were jocks.
Jocks and preps.
Yeah.
She was an HQ, for goodness sake.
Yeah, and he was a football star.
Yeah, there's like girls walking in with, one girl's wearing wings.
Yeah.
Like fairy wings. One girl has a full back tattoo.
Things with Ethan and Jack are awkward. Just Jack is awkward in general, but they're wearing the same tux. It's not off to a good start. I think Jack's feeling a lot of pressure. You know, this whole thing was thrown for him.
And in classic Ethan fashion, as you pointed out at Barefoot at Cave Fest, he's like a little mansplainy, a little acting like an elder to Jack in his gay experience. And Jack is getting over it. This episode is a breaking point for him. I love when Andy and Pacey sit down at the table, the way that Meredith is like, hey, Ethan, Henry. Like, it's just so
real,
natural, yeah. And so Andy.
So real.
Very real.
Andy's eye makeup is just so of the times. Oh my God.
So of the time. And her lips. Her eyes and her lips both match her dress in a way that is perfect for this, but it's very of a time.
Joey and Dawson are dancing and Joey just looks miserable.
Miserable.
Miserable. She hates her life right now.
So everybody gets up and starts dancing and Jack and Ethan are talking and Jack finally says, can we put a pin in the when I was a young gay guy stories for this evening? Did you like that? Did you like that he was finally speaking up?
Yeah, I'd be so sick of them too. I would have said it on night one.
You did. You said it. You said it to me.
I would have said it at Ape Fest. I can't stand that.
Then it comes out that Ethan never did this at his own prom and he pushed Jack to do it. And he said, I thought this was a hurdle that we could jump over together. And Jack is like, excuse me, at my prom where I know everyone and you know no one, this is not the same experience. This is nuts. You're not actualized at all. I'd be pissed.
You're a freaking phony.
You're nothing but a floppy-haired phony.
Yeah, I would feel very manipulated too. Like, he was pushing Jack to do the things that, like, he didn't do or couldn't do or...
Mm-hmm. He wanted to live through Jack.
Yeah.
Jack sucks. I mean, Ethan sucks.
I was like, how dare you, first of all.
No, Ethan sucks. And then Jack's like, I'm gonna go get a soda. What's better, Coke or Pepsi for my actualization?
Coke.
obviously. I can't care. I cannot give a care to Jen and Henry. I cannot give a care.
I'm so ready for this to be done.
I liked when he said, I'm going to football camp. And she says, what ball camp?
Yeah, that was so funny. Oh, my God. Michelle Williams is a comedy legend.
Truly.
All of them are comedy legends. That's one of the biggest past versus presents. You know, in addition to, like, I obviously find Dawson a little more annoying this time around than I did the first time around. First five times around. I cannot believe how wrong this Henry-Jen relationship was in my head. I thought they were so cute. And, like, I thought he was so cute. They're just annoying.
He is cute. Henry isn't cute. Michael Pitt is really cute. Very attracted to Michael Pitt. So I think that baked into my memory of it, of being like, oh, Henry's great. It's like, no, Henry is actually, Henry and Jen, ugh.
He's Dawson. She's dating Dawson again.
God, Jen.
She's dating Dawson again.
But she's also so hard on Henry for not communicating and, like, whatever, you know, here in this moment. He tells her that he's going away for 8 weeks. And she's like, what the hell? But she doesn't communicate anything to him ever. She has, like, all of these veiled things. Like, she's like talking about how terrible prom is, and he reads between the lines and realizes she wants to go to prom. She talks about how they're not gonna have sex, and then gets upset when he thought that she was serious about not having sex. Like, she is not clearly communicating. And one of the, like, tent poles of a relationship, obviously, is communication, but it's also making your needs known. Your needs cannot be met if the person you're with doesn't know what your needs are. So Jen is like, how dare you not do this thing that I never told you that I wanted, and in fact, I told you that I didn't want. Get it together.
That is a great point. What are you, a psychologist or something?
God.
Yeah, they're not good together. They're just not good together.
I love that Joey finally says to Dawson, why did you bring me here? And he's like, what? And she's like, was it just so you could throw jabs at Pacey? Because all you're doing is rubbing it in his face. And then she goes outside.
Well, no, he says, I'm not. The reason I keep looking at him is because he has the nerve to come to my parents' restaurant, to come to an event I planned, like, after what he did to me. So I get Dawson's point, but I like Joey's rebuttal, which is, tonight is about not excluding anyone. Yes. Then she goes outside and talks with Jack. It's a cute little scene. I like Joey Jack scenes.
Me too. We haven't had a good Joey Jack. Like, they had a really nice friendship after they broke up, or after he came out. I feel like we had a lot of good Joey Jack moments, and now this is very reminiscent of that. And I missed it. It's a really nice dynamic. And I love at the end of the scene, they have a little handhold moment, which is really cute, but also it plants the image of the bracelet into our minds,
mm-hmm.
which makes it all the more impactful down the line.
Absolutely. Praise be. Mitch has had enough of Gail. Mitchell, what are you talking about? And he's like, Gail, this isn't just about you. Like, I cannot be the person who defines us all the time and, like, figures out where we are and what we are and who we are and ask the questions. Like, you have to do it this time.
I love that for him. I love that he's being vulnerable. He's like, look, we got to this point in our relationship by being honest with each other, and we can't stop now. So this is what I need. Exactly what I just said about Jen and Henry. In order for your needs to be met, sometimes you have to say what your needs are. And Mitch is telling Gail what his needs are. He's like, look, this is what I need from you. I'm going to let you think about it. And he walks away.
Yeah. Like, is this a mistake? Is this a fling? Is this serious? Is this an arrangement?
I just need to know.
Just tell me. Tell me, Gail. So then we get to the dance, the scene of all scenes. It's Joey in an attempt to normalize things. I think she's thinking, I've been dancing with Dawson all night. I'm going to level the playing field. I'm going to go dance with Pacey. Because she just wants things to be normal.
Yeah, it's important to say that Jack planted that seed in her head outside. He said, these boys are never going to take the first step to making things normal. So if this is what you want, you need to set the example. So she walks in with that little kernel, has her little brave moment, goes up to Pacey and says, I've been meaning to ask you something all night. Will you dance with me? And his face, so cute. And the minute they start dancing, it's like palpable.
Yeah.
The electricity, the chemistry.
And he says, why does this feel so right? And she said, it must be the dance lessons.
That was such a cute moment and such a funny little line. I loved it. And it's just the exact opposite of how things felt when Dawson and Joey were dancing. There's just so much there. He's like touching her hair. We cut to Andy for a moment, who clocks them dancing. And at first she's disappointed, but she's not devastated. They continue to dance and he points to her earrings and says, where did you get those? They're not you. And she says, are they not me because Dawson gave them to me, or because I'm a poor girl from wrong side of the creek, or whatever she says.
A poor tomboy. And he says neither. This is more you. It's simple. It's elegant.
It's not showy, not gaudy. Simple, elegant, beautiful. We don't have to recap it. You've already done it. You've done it in your own recap. But do you think that this chemistry is just these two people because obviously they dated in real life, so they have obvious real chemistry? Or do you think he could have this chemistry with anyone?
I think a part of it has to be their personal connection, right? I mean, if you've dated someone, you feel more I mean, you could argue that you'd feel less comfortable, but I think in this case, they dated each other. They feel really comfortable with each other. And I think it just allows you to get to a certain place in a scene together when you know each other like that.
And you're familiar with touching them. It's not like a foreign.
Yeah.
I feel like it must be weird for actors to like come into a scene cold, having just met somebody or whatever, and then be like, okay, touch like you're dating. It's weird if you're not used to touching somebody, but I guess if you've dated, you've touched them in that way before. Like just the simple shoulder touches and stuff that he's doing. I mean, it just feels very natural.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. They were natural. They were a couple. They're close friends.
Well, it's effective as hell. And he tells the whole story. She's taking it on board and she's like, you remember that? Trumpet Swell, Sarah Sleen. I remember everything.
It's a great song.
Holy bananas.
Dawson and Joey go out and have their horrible fight outside. And I just have to say, another thing I've noticed this time is like the wind is really plaguing all of these exterior scenes for like the last two or three episodes.
Well, we know it's been a wild weather year in North Carolina. It snowed.
Because it snowed, yeah.
For the only time.
It's just so distracting. I never noticed it before. But they're like trying to say these things. And like poor Katie Holmes, like her hair is blowing everywhere. She has like blow the hair out of her face, wipe the hair out of her face. Dawson's like, how could you do this to me? How could you humiliate me?
It's awful. He's screaming. He's throwing a fit. How could you do this to me? Are you trying to hurt me? It's not about you, Dawson. It's not about you.
But it was a pretty stupid thing. If her intention was to get things back to normal, I do think it was stupid to ask Pacey to dance.
I think that she's not thinking much
right
in this episode, obviously. But I think in her mind, she thought it would be like, okay, she danced with Dawson. That's a tick in one column. I'll dance with Pacey. That's a tick in another column. I've even the score, like,
yes,
whatever. But it can't be that. That's not what it is.
And for drama's sake, you can't do this. But she should have said to Dawson, hey,
I'm going to dance with Pacey.
We're here as friends. Pacey's my friend. I'm going to go dance with Pacey.
Yeah.
But Dawson was blindsided and he didn't know that they were dancing as friends. Like, you know, he just saw a moment.
Right.
So.
And it was very effective. The whole thing is shot and cut so tightly. Like you're in it with Joey and Pacey. And then Joey spots Dawson and you can see physically her body tense up. And then you can see Pacey feel Joey's body tense up. And the moment that he registers that that's happened, he knows without even seeing that Dawson is there and Dawson is watching. And he like immediately returns to that depressed face that he's had the entire episode outside of this moment. It was so effective for me. I just think this is such a good episode.
Yeah.
Really well done and really well executed. And then Pacey's softness in the dance juxtaposed to Dawson's petulance on the street. Chef's kiss. It just makes Dawson look so bad. And I don't understand how anyone could ever be Team Dawson. I'm sorry.
I know. It's hard. It's harder every rewatch to justify being Team Dawson. You know, Pacey said last time there would be no ultimatums and on his side. And so that's just another thing. You know, Dawson's always putting Joey in the tough positions and Pacey's always trying to alleviate and free Joey from tough positions. So it's like a selfish love versus a selfless love, a mature love versus an immature love. See, Dawson and Joey are still stuck in like the childhood, childish, immature love. Pacey and Joey are in the adult. I'm going to put the other person before me. Let's talk. You know, I don't want to hurt them. I would never do anything to hurt them.
And Dawson's whole platform is platform. Can you tell we're coming off of an election? Dawson's whole thing is
argument.
Yeah, Dawson's whole argument.
The past.
Is the past. And if you pick him, you will lose me. And this is what you'll be losing. Like he is pushing in her face, like, you can't have me if you pick him. And I am this. And then he kisses her. He kisses her on the street. And I hate it.
Why?
Because he's doing that thing. He's doing that. This is what you're going to be missing. And then he kisses her and he goes, this was meant to be the end of the night. And then he walks away and he thinks It is the biggest mic drop.
I know, and it's not.
He's like, daughter.
I know. He's egg on his face for sure. It was not a mic drop. It was like an ick.
It was an ick.
But the thing that he says to her in that moment that's very important is, you have to choose. You have to choose. And then Pacey tells Andy his summer plans are that he's sailing down to Key West on the True Love. And Andy just says, you know, don't leave without telling her how you feel. You can't, you know, you'll regret it forever if you're not honest. And a little bit is that, I think, is she wasn't honest with Pacey in mm-hmm. the past.
Because he's like, she knows how I feel. And she's like, you have to tell her or you're going to regret it. It's very, very much so coming from her own experience.
Yeah.
Henry walks Jen home and Jen's not really talking to him. And she finally speaks to him and he's like, that's the first thing you said to me all night. And she's like, for the first time in my life, I made myself vulnerable to somebody and it came back to bite me. And Henry says, my decision to go to this football camp had nothing to do with you. And Jen is like, yeah, exactly my point. And she goes in the house and Henry says, if you close the door, it's not good night. It's goodbye.
He said, we'll be done. I won't be outside your house with messages. I won't be trying to win you back. If you go in there, if you close the door and leave this fight, then we're done. And she says, then be done.
Bye. And then Jack walks Ethan to the train station. Ethan, I guess, is taking his long journey back to boarding school or whatever.
College.
And Jack is like, you could have just kissed me. And Ethan is like, you could have just kissed me. And Jack's like, maybe I will. And then nothing happens and Ethan leaves.
Jack's big thing in that moment was like, I realized maybe I wasn't so nervous about going to prom with a guy. Maybe I'm nervous about going to a prom with a guy who doesn't feel the same way that I feel about him. Which was deep. These Dawson's, these Cape Cityans are always just having these amazing realizations about themselves. I love that.
I love that for them. And then, yeah, Joey brings back the earrings. New day.
And she says, please don't make me choose. And he says, I'm going to wait for you. I'm an eternal optimist. And he says, this whole journey I've been going on this whole year to find myself, I found myself. You, like you were at the end of that journey. So heading into the finale, we know Joey has to make a choice. We know neither guy will take it well.
We know that Pacey plans to run away to the sea. He has his contingency plan. And he's fully expecting that Joey's going to pick Dawson.
And Dawson is fully expecting that Joey's going to pick Dawson. And when it comes to the other characters, Jen and Henry are done. Jack and Ethan never really got off the ground, but they're done. And it's definitely shaping up to be an interesting finale.
Sure is. And in the last moments of the episode, we see Gail come running across the lawn at the tail end of Joey and Dawson's conversation. And we follow them into the house. And Gail says, look, if our fate is to make all the same mistakes all over again, then I hope we make them as well as we did the first time. She's down on her little, she's not really down on one knee. She's just kind of squatting in front of Mitch. And she says, what do you think? Or what's your answer? And he says, you haven't asked me a question. She says, you know the question. And he says, you know the answer. And then they kiss.
I loved that. That exchange was so good.
They're getting back together. They're getting married.
Mitch and Gail are engaged after 2.5 seasons of just insanity. Well, that's episode 322, the anti-prom.
That's it. Next one is the finale.
323, True Love.
True Love. And we will be drinking the True Love.
Yes. And just as a little teaser, because you would have seen this in the next time on Dawson's Creek. Mitch and Gail have a wedding. Joey makes a choice. Jen and Jack decide whether to pursue Ethan and Henry. Lots of decisions are made next week. That's just a little tease for next time.
And one of the greatest memes of all time is bread from next week's episode. You didn't hear it from me.
You didn't hear it from me. So we are closing it. We are almost done with season 3, which is wild, which means we're halfway through the series because there's only 6 seasons.
Insane.
And it's just crazy.
Insanity.
It's just cray cray in the day day. What goes in the drink, the True Love?
It is a vodka, cherry hearing liqueur, strawberry mint cordial, sherry, and lemon juice. It sounds good. It looks good. The picture's really good looking.
That sounds good.
I'm excited. As it should be for the finale of season 3, a delightful drink.
As it should be, that will be done.
Looking forward to it.
All right. See you then.
Bye.